Friends, I want to start this morning, if I can, by reading you a quote and then giving you a moment to discuss it with the person beside you. Sound okay? It's from a guy called Jordan Peterson. He's a Canadian psychologist and author. And it's taken from his global best-selling book called 12 Rules for Life. Modern parents are paralysed by the fear that they'll no longer be liked or even loved by their children if they discipline them for any reason. They want their children's friendship above all and are willing to sacrifice respect to get it. Just turn to the person beside you. What do you think? We're picking up our series in the Ten Commandments today. And if it's a helpful reminder, we saw last time how they break neatly into two sections. Commands 1 to 4 are all about how we love God. And commands 5 to 10 are all about our relationships with other people. 1 to 4, they're commands that point us up. 5 to 10, point us out. If you missed them earlier on this year, all of our talks are online if you want to listen back. But over the next 6 weeks, we are going to pick up where we left off. And it's the fifth commandment that's our focus today. If you've got a handout, you'll see some of our headings there. A serious commandment, an urgent need, a wonderful promise, a lifetime of application, a God who's all in with help. That is where we're going. Here's our first. A serious commandment. Let me read it again. Honour your father and your mother, so that you will live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's a serious command because it applies to all of us. Firstly, because we are all children, there is not such a thing as a parentless person. But secondly, and maybe more importantly, this commandment is there for people like us, prone to rebel against authority. If it was easy or natural to do this, there would only be 9 commandments. But as with studying all 10, it helps us to realise the heart of human rebellion. We do not like anyone telling us what we can or cannot do. My friends, this speaks to all of us. It is a serious command as well, because our relationship with our parents is the first and most important relationship. It is the relationship that shapes all others for good or for ill. Think about it for a moment. It is your relationship with your parents through which you first learn what it is to have someone in authority over you. It is at home that we first learn to listen, to honour, to do the things we'd sometimes rather not do. The family is the first place we learn about respect and obedience, love and protection. I love how the author Jen Wilkin put it. She said, the home is the lab where children learn submission to authority. It's where we learn something about what it looks like to relate properly to teachers, to the government, to God. But maybe you've spotted the problem. You see, as nice as that all might sound, we live in a world that has changed. 42% of marriages today end in divorce. Blended families are the norm. The pain of all that is very real. Many parents feel at a loss with how to cope in a world where they're either doing parenting alone because both need to work to just keep the bills going. Smartphones, social media leave people grappling with how to stay connected. And even when kids are physically present, they can seem absent in every other way. And it turns out Parenting isn't the doddle we always assumed when we told our parents that we definitely knew better than them. Friends, I know many here will have difficult relationships with their parents. Many continue to carry the scars, be that physical or emotional, of relationships that were far from loving and secure. So what does it mean for us to honour our parents in a world and in families that is so fragmented? Can I give you an encouragement? Firstly, the Bible's pretty real about what it was like with families back here. The Bible knows all about the complexities and the difficulties of real family life. God knew that when he gave this command, and he knew perfectly well there would be a 2025. This is a serious command, and I think there's also an urgent need. One of the reasons that we push back against this is because it kind of flies in the face of kind of Western liberal society and what it teaches us. It cuts against the grain, if you like, of the you do you, go your own way kind of mantras. Many parents are scared of anything that sounds like discipline. And so we live out this no fault, no pressure, no rules relationship with our kids. But if I can be gentle and yet clear, I think that's neither possible nor is it good. It's worth remembering these are God's commands. They're not his hints or suggestions or his opinions or ideas. These are commands from our perfect God who knows us best and loves us most. Children need to be parented. It is right and good that they have boundaries. Far from damaging them, all of the evidence suggests that having clear limits enables rather than crushing creativity. Having clear limits enables kids to be the most creative. Now, he's not a Christian, and this is not scripture, but so we need to judge it wisely. But let me read some of what Jordan Peterson says. Here he says, children are damaged when those charged with their care, afraid of any conflict or upset, no longer dare to correct them and leave them without guidance. Such children, he says, are chronically ignored by their peers because they are no fun to play with. Once children know that an adult is not serious about discipline, they know they can safely defy them. And the absence of any correction only increases their curiosity as to how far things can be pushed. He's not a Christian. This is not scripture. So we need to weigh it carefully. But I wonder if there's just something really helpful. Being a parent is a weighty responsibility. It is blooming hard. We can't just leave our kids to work things out for themselves, to learn on their own and try and just be their best friends. But we must kindly, lovingly, rightly give them orders and expect their obedience. And whether you like it or not, whether you agree with Peterson or not, science once again supports the scriptures. Children, like all of us, need rules and boundaries to keep us safe from harm and to help us function well in society. There is an urgent need for children and parents. Dare I say, it's an even greater need if you're a Christian. It's an even greater need if you're a Christian. You see, we don't have to be the only ones that give our kids instructions, but parents, we are the responsible ones. If it helps, think of it this way. Many of you will have children on the sports team or who play an instrument. You wouldn't tolerate a coach or a teacher who failed to prepare your child for a competition, would you? If a teacher out the back door, if that helps, Claire. Thank you so much. If a teacher never made them learn or practice the scales they needed to progress, you'd find a new one. If a coach avoided playing the tough teams because they were afraid your child would be discouraged, you'd rightly complain they weren't being properly prepared for the big game at the end of the season. But how many of us let that happen when it comes to the spiritual health of our kids? God says that parents are primarily responsible for the discipline and discipleship of their children. It is parents, not school teachers or children's church leaders, who are responsible for ensuring that our children learn what is good and right and will help them to grow in Christ. We don't have to be the only ones that give our kids instruction, but we are the responsible ones. It is a serious commandment. There is an urgent need, but don't miss the wonderful promise. Did you spot that in verse 12? Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This commandment comes with a promise. Isn't that amazing? God could have said, honour your parents or else. But instead, he woos us with the sheer goodness. He shows us why this command is not only something we should obey, but that we should want to. Obeying this command, he tells us, is for our good and our blessing. And again, study after study, whether by liberals or conservatives, shows this. What happens at home is the single best indicator of your health as an adult, making it through school, staying out of jail, keeping off drugs, avoiding promiscuity or faithlessness, and every other pattern of social benefits. That is what all of the social scientists agree on. The best indicator for those is whether you had a mum and a dad who loved you and were there for you, and whether you listened to and followed them. Friends, God gives us these rules for our good and our blessing. He's on our side. He's our Father. This is what good fathers do. But maybe it's just worth recognising again there that the idea of honouring your father or even having a heavenly father can be really hard for some of us. If it helps, please notice that the call is to honour your mother and your father. There is this radical equalising. But secondly, if this your experience of a human father has been hard, it is entirely right and normal to worry that God might just be a bigger version of them. But just think about how Jesus taught us. When he spoke of God as Father, he wasn't saying, you know your dad, well, God's a bit like him. He was telling us that God is everything a father should be. He is by far the best and the kindest of fathers. He is the perfect father. He's the one our dads should be like. And he's still perfect, even when our dads got it wrong. I'll jump off script slightly, but someone helpfully compared it to a banknote. Imagine the first time you were given a banknote and you took it to a shop and they said, I'm sorry, this is a fake. Would that mean you never trusted another banknote again? Well, hopefully not, because most of them are good. I wonder if there's a helpful analogy there. There are absolutely fakes, but that doesn't mean that the idea of a banknote is fake. It can still be a good thing, even if we've had a bad experience. So the way that we relate to our human parents and the honour we show them is a window to the respect and the honour we show God. In fact, for all of us, I think this must lead to a lifetime of application. I guess all of us might have immediately spotted this passage applies to kids. You know, if you want to play top trumps, you know, telling them God told them to is a pretty big play. But isn't it also wonderful that God includes and speaks to our children? Isn't it brilliant that he expects whole families to come to church for children to be given Bible teaching? But grown-ups, I've got some awkward news for you. Though we might often quote this to small children, the reality, I think, is that the primary audience here is adult children. If you're not convinced, just look at our passage. The fifth commandment is found in the middle of a list that is clearly addressed to adults. You don't have to read much further to realise that some of the issues that come up are primarily addressed, the issues of adulthood. Though children struggle in sin as much as we do, small children don't generally carve idols, plot to murder, or bear credible false witness against their neighbour. Let alone some of the other things that you'll know come up to. My friends, I'm convinced that this command is ours for the length of our relationship to our parents. It's not just there while we live as children in their home, but it's right that we honour them into old age. Now, it's absolutely right that relationship changes as we leave home, get married, grow up, whatever. It's obviously true that honour takes different forms. It adapts to different situations, but there is no if attached here. God places no expiry date on these words. And maybe in a culture that is obsessed with worshipping youth, this offers us a really clear way to shine as a light in the darkness. Our growth groups this week are going to get really practical. And if you're not in one, please, can I encourage you? But let me just nudge you in a few ways. We thought about them with our kids. They're on your handout. Here are four ways that we can all apply this. The first way you and your children can obey this command is by saying yes. Prompt, cheerful honouring and for children obedience is a great way of saying yes to God's command. Thank you is another. When was the last time you said thank you and meant it? When was the last time you went out of your way to say it? When was the last time you called up your parents to say thank you for all that they did? Sorry. It's a hard one, right? But isn't it so important? It may be you've known great hurt at your parents' hands. I don't in any way want to downplay that. But I also think it's possible to offer forgiveness without downplaying the pain that's being caused. It is also true that ignoring pain doesn't automatically heal it. In fact, often it just encourages it to fester. It becomes something far more unhealthy and dangerous to us. Saying sorry is a good and honourable thing to do, especially when it's costly. Yes, thank you, sorry, hello. Maybe in a different way to some of our younger friends, we can honour our parents, however old we are, by simply picking up the phone or making a point of dropping in. Now, why not try it? Pick up the phone and say, we haven't talked in a while, how are you? You could even say that I told you to, if that's an excuse you need. A serious commandment, an urgent need, a wonderful promise, a lifetime of application, and finally, a God who is all in with help. Do you remember how the whole chapter started? Back in verse 1, God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery. The very first thing God does at such a momentous occasion in the history of his people is remind them who he is. This is God speaking. It is Yahweh, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping Lord, the sovereign, self-existent, self-sufficient, almighty creator. The God who, verse 2, has already saved his people. If you want to know how all in God is with this stuff, just look at history, look at the cross, look at your Bible. If you're struggling as a parent, as a grandparent, as a child, it is right that this command should drive us to our knees and lead us to the cross. We must see our sin, our failing, and we must see our Savior and his freedom. My friends, on your best days, God is for you. He is for you and what you're doing. On your worst days, God is for you. He is for you and what you are doing. Your Father loves you as one of your own. The Son has come and says we can call him our brother. The Spirit lives and works inside you that we might know his power and his helper. And if you don't have any children or living parents, well, welcome to the family of God. These older and younger sisters and brothers that the Lord has deliberately and lovingly put around you, where you can love and serve together. Because the church is the family of God, we need be at no loss for father and mothers to honour. Nor need we be at any loss for spiritual orphans to parent. Now, over to you for a moment. How's this going to make a difference in your life?